being that today, Chanukah is next week, next Thursday. So let's get a head start and let's learn a little bit about the Nusach HaTfilah in the Siddur, the different things that we say in the Nusach HaTfilah for Chanukah. Starting with the Al HaNisim. I don't have here any big grand chidushim today. Fortunately, I didn't have that much time to prepare. So let's just go through some basic ideas. We'll just read through it and go through. I have it on the screen. If you have, hopefully you can see it. You can see the Al HaNisim. I put it up on the screen. And let's try to go through some of the basic words and ideas, some simple stuff about the Al HaNisim. Okay, the first thing over here is we start with the bracha, Ki lois chol rechanach v'amracheim, Hashem es rachmanes ki lois samu chasadecha me'olam. From time immemorial, kivinu loch, we have always yearned for you. The first big issue is it Al HaNisim or ve'al HaNisim? What is the difference between the Vav? See, you're just talking now, like your mayor, what you just said in the Mishnah Berach, Ba'ala ve'aviha. Okay, the word the Vav over here in the parentheses is an explosive Vav. It makes a world of a difference. If you do not include the Vav, then it means Me'olam kivinu loch Al HaNisim. It is a new independent statement. This, what we're going to say now, has nothing to do with what it says in the modem. Now, why would we want to do that? Because, you know, I didn't put the thing on the Siddur. You know, I don't know if you can see the whole the page here. I didn't intend to copy the whole page. But in the modem, we say, the Al Nisecha Shebechol Yoim Imanu. The Al Nifle Oisecha V'Toyv Oisecha Shebechol Eis Edevok V'Tzaharayim. And now, we come over here to Al HaNisim. Question: is the Nisim that we are about to mention in this Nusach, are they the same Nisim as the Nisim that we mention every single day, three times a day in Moedim? Are they the same Nisim? And the Pashto says no. Well, here's where it gets very confusing. And I vaguely remember we once spent time in the morning, we discussed this, and we came out with a very big chiddush. It was not my chiddush. It was I have no remembrance of who said this. There's a difference between Purim and Chanukah. On Chanukah, you do not have the Vav, and on Purim, you do add the Vav. Why? Because since the theme, in the right before you say the Al Nisim is the words, you can see it all the way on top, the Al Nisecha, Shebechol Yom Imanu, the simple understanding of the word the Al Nisecha in the context of Modim is not a reference to open, blatant miracles, miracles of Lamala Miderech HaTeva. The miracles of Modim refer to the hidden miracles. Purim is all about hidden miracles. So then we talk about V'al HaNisim, V'al HaPurim, V'al HaGvus, V'al HaTeshuot, V'al HaMilchamos, She'asitz L'Avaseinu B'Yimim Bazman Hazeh. Indeed, on Purim, there were many hidden miracles. The whole essence of Purim is a hidden miracle, a miracle that operates Al Derech HaTeva in the most magnificent way. Then the result is that Purim, the theme of the Al HaNisim of Purim, is identical to the simple understanding of the Al HaNisecha that is mentioned in the Modim. It's a far stretch to say that when it says here, V'Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu V'Al Nifli Yosef Tov Asecha, that we're referring to Nisim Lemala Miderech HaTeva. That's not realistic. You don't have, the average person does not experience miracles that are beyond the scope of nature every single day, Shebechol Yom Imanu, you don't have that.
Just think of that. At the end of Purim, yeah. What do you say? What does it say?
What are you referring to? Okay, but on a similar level, no one experiences on the. It's a far fetched to say such a thing. In the modem was written for the average Joe, the average person, and the average person does not experience miracles lemala miderech hateva every single day. No way. Does not go like that. So what then does it mean? Well, you're lying. You're saying that Hashem v'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. What are you talking about? The answer is, when it says the word nisecha, means hidden miracles. Even though we may not see them, we may not realize the hashkocha pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us, protecting us. The truth is, every single day, it's a Purim miracle. The only difference between Purim and every single day is every single day we don't see it happening. Maybe at some point in time in our life we'll look back. We're blessed to have that siyata d'shmaya, where you can look back and you can see that 10 years ago when an event happened, when an event happened, it was l'mala miderech hateva. Oh, now you can see the miracles. I'll tell you, you know, yesterday I went to a bris. I'll tell you what so my brother, he gave me the ultimate kibbutz. I was really shocked out of my mind. He didn't give me his son the kois. He actually gave me nothing. He didn't give me any kibbutz at all, but he gave me all, he asked me to speak at the Suda, which was a shock to me that he would consider letting me speak for his oilam at the Suda. So what did I say? I said a whole bunch of things. One thing I said was that, and this is something which my sister claims is true, I have absolutely no recollection, but my sister tells me it's absolutely true, and my brother's mother-in-law claims that my mother told it to her also, is that my brother, the baby was named after his father-in-law. My brother's father-in-law passed away 2 years ago, very tragically. It's an incredible tragedy. He died, it was horrible, 2 years ago. So he named the baby after my father, after his father-in-law. His father-in-law's name is Nosson Baruch. My brother's name is Nosson. Just Nosson. And in fact, when he got married, his father-in-law went to Chaim Kanievsky and he asked him, is it a problem to go take a son-in-law that has the same name? My name is Nosson Baruch and his name is Nosson. And Chaim Kanievsky told him, no, your name is Nosson Baruch, two names together, and his name is Nosson. So it's not the same, and it's okay. You shouldn't forget about it. It's fine. That's what he told him. But he told him you should call yourself Nosson Baruch, which he did. They called him always Nosson Baruch. Fine. So now, he passed away 2 years ago. So my brother now couldn't name him Nosson, he named him Baruch. So I told them that my brother, when he was born, my parents were planning to name him Nosson Baruch. That was the plan. The plan was to name my brother Nosson Baruch. And I don't know why, but for some reason, the very last moment, my parents decided to drop the name Baruch. They just dropped it. I don't know why. They just dropped it in the very last moment. And they called him Nosson. So I said to you, why? Why? You know why? So that today, he can name him Baruch. It takes, I don't know how old my brother is, but it takes many, many years to figure out why things happen. Okay, and what would have been the shaylef if you would have gone to Chaim Kanievsky and told them they have the same, I don't know, I have no idea what he would have told him. I have no idea. It's hard to believe it would make a difference. Litvaks don't really pay much attention to this, but it's funny, they say that when you have a baby, Hashem puts a machshava into your mind. Hashem, there's a certain ruach hakodesh, what to name a baby. You see this many people will tell you this, is that they were planning, and suddenly at the very end, they just did something very different on the spur of the moment, and they really don't know why. This happens. There's a certain siyata d'shmaya in the naming of a child. And it can take decades to get a glimpse, not that you really understand why and it really your understanding even makes sense, but you get a glimpse that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. And that's what it means, V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. And this means the hidden miracles. So now when it comes to V'al hanisim, wait a minute, what holiday are we talking about? If we're talking about Purim is a perfect match for V'al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Iman. Thus, for Purim, you should say V'al Hanisim, because it's the same type of miracle. But Chanukah is not like that. Chanukah is a Nes L'mala Miderech HaTeva, as the Nusach elaborates. All of the different, there are eight things, there are eight different items listed over here that took place in the Chanukah miracle, eight different items, corresponding to the 8 days of Chanukah, some want to say. And all of those things were things that were lamala miderech hateva, besides the Chanukah candles, which is not even mentioned over here altogether in this nusach. So then You can't go say ve'al hanisim because it's not a continuation. This is something completely different. And thus, it's correct to say al hanisim. It is a new expression that has no connection to the previous expression, and therefore the vav would be inappropriate. So you see over here, Meir, you see the vav, you tell me over here, bavur sheba'aloh ve'aviv. Sheba'aloh ve'aviv. You tell me, I'm all hooked up on the vav. The vav to me, it sounds like, so you're telling me it's a continuation, it's all the same. The ba'aloh, which is the father of the baby. It's all one and the same. So if you want to say that, then over here, certainly, if you're going to say the vav means all one and the same, then the vav only makes sense if we are talking about Purim, but not about Chanukah. Chanukah, it's a completely different type of miracle that has no connection to the past. It's a new statement. Then you start fresh. You see, they put a dot over here. K'melam kivinu loch.
One more point. He brings a nusach. I think this is in the R scroll, in the handbook, that, or there's a footnote, or maybe I saw it in Zechar Bris, that if he's a Yosin, you don't say. You can say Imoy, but you don't say Aviv.
You don't say Aviv. All right, so obviously that version that you're looking at clearly holds that the word Aviv refers to the father of the child. If you can say that. Now, by the way, in the Tikkun Meir Siddur, okay, your name carries your name, the Tikkun Meir Siddur, the word Aviv for a boy and Avia for a girl do not appear. All it says, Bavur Sheba'aloh, whatever, it leaves out that word. That word does not appear there. In the Tikkun Meir Siddur, that word is not there. It's only found in the art scroll.
It's a Mishnah Berurah. It's not written in
the
stone.
But someone wrote it. Yeah, you can't just go and write it off. Somebody wrote this. This was written by. We have to assume that.
Never been in a Sfardi shul when they make Mishnah Berurah?
No. All right, let's go further. Let's go further. This is not that. Okay. So that is the first one I want to make. Okay, let's go to the next point. The next point over here is we have the Al HaPorkan. Now, there's a very big problem here. The problem is the word porkan is an Aramaic word. The word porkan is the Aramaic word for the word Yeshua, salvation. Yeshua. Every time it says in the Torah the word Yeshua, in the Torah, the Targum translates it porkan. So the question is, if we say here V'al HaPorkan, then saying V'al HaTeshuos is redundant. They're the same exact thing. What are we doing over here? We're just trying to add words. You know, we're trying to stuff the ballots. What are we trying to do over here by taking two words which mean exactly the same thing? What's going on over here? So, because of this question, okay, this is the topic of discussion. Some want to say there are two different types of salvation. They're not exactly the same, and that's why in between the word porkan and the word teshuos, we have the word Givurais. The word Givurais is really what separates these two concepts. What do we mean by that? Sometimes a person experiences a salvation by just escaping. You escape. A person is in danger. So what do? You break out. You break out of prison. You're in a dangerous place, and you escape. And then there's a type of salvation where you don't escape, where you overcome the enemy. You go on the offense. You attack. And you prevail upon your enemy. In this nusach, we're writing over here about two very, now obviously, which one is the weaker? The weaker one is the porkan. Why is the weaker one called the porkan? Because that's the translation. Whenever you have a translation, it diminishes the intensity of the pure word. The words of the Torah are potent. They're pure. They're powerful. And when you diminish it by translating it, there's something that gets lost in the translation. So porkan, refers to a type of salvation that is diminished. What does that mean? You escape. You're under attack, and you very luckily or miraculously get out of the danger zone, and you're a free man. But the enemy is still there. The enemy.
It's like Poreko Malchus Shemayim, somebody who's Poreko. He's casting aside the Judaism, so to speak.
Poreik, from the Lord of Poreko, you're right. You're breaking out. But still, you really have the obligations there, but you have escaped.
Yeah, but you are, right. So maybe it's less of a miracle on some.
Exactly.
Takes your doing. I'm just speculating.
But Yoshua, the word Yoshua is a salvation in its purest form. It's the Hebrew form of salvation, which connotes not just that you escape. You don't go nowhere. You take over. You prevail. You rise up and you go on the offense. You attack and you conquer your enemy. That is called a teshua. In between the word purkon and the word hateshuois, we have the word givurois to indicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, we escaped. Number two, he gave us givura. And that givura is what gave us the ability to go on the offense and achieve a yeshua where we prevailed. And what's the next word? The Al HaMilchamas. I guess that means that maybe you can. How did we do that? We went to war. It's okay. I'm not sure the word HaMilchamas. You have to. I'm not sure how that fits in. But the question is really better than all the answers. The word Purkan and the word Teshua are exactly the same thing. This word is Hebrew. This word is the Aramaic. This is not a Lokai Nitzar. And Lokai, you know, this is not a tefillah where there's poetry. The words of Al-Hanisim are assumed to be extremely precise, with extreme precision. We're not just looking to pad the number of words. And the fact that the two words appear side by side, next to each other, pretty much, and one is the Aramaic version of the other, and what's also bizarre is we put the Aramaic first, and then we put the Hebrew word, is a very tough question. And one answer, I think Rav David Cohen, says pretty much this, is that Purkan refers to the weaker form of salvation where you escape. And Teshua is where you rise up and you prevail. And I'm adding is that in between the Purkan and the Teshua is the Gevura, because the Gevura, the ability to have that power to over, the Gevura is the ingredient that is necessary to convert a Purkan to a Teshua, to a Yeshua. Now, what about Milchamos? Okay, I'm not exactly sure how that fits into the picture over here, but that's also mentioned. That's already four things. Purkan, Gevurois, Teshuois, and Milchamos. What is the Milchamos? What is the synonym of Milchamos? Why is that called the miracle? The Al-Hanisim. Okay, this is a very, it's difficult. The Nisim. Okay, the Nisim, I take it back. It's separate things. There are Nisim. We thank Hashem for the miracles. Nisim is not going, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are five different items mentioned. Okay, Nisim, we explained, depends upon the holiday. If it's Hanukkah, it's Nisim Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Then if it's Purim, it's Nisim Al Derech HaTeva. And the Nafka Mina, the difference between the two would be if you add the Vav. If it's Hanukkah, then it cannot be a continuation of what we said over here above, V'al Nisecha, so it's a new statement, then it would be Al HaNisim. If it's Purim, it's miracles al derech hateva, similar to the nisecha of the modem, then you would add the vav. And we have five different items, miracles. Purkan is a salvation where you escape harm. V'al ha-givurois, givura is, you've given a certain degree of confidence and power. V'al ha-teshuois is where you overcome your enemies. And then we have v'al ha-milchamois. Now, it is interesting to take note that this line here, the Al HaNisim, is said both on Purim and on Hanukkah. Both. Purkan, now if you think about this idea that we just mentioned, this Purkan and there is Teshua. Hanukkah, what was Hanukkah? Hanukkah was Teshua. The Chashmonoim, they rose up. They rose up with Givura to do what? To overthrow the Misyavnim and the Yevonim. Purim, no one rose up. What, there was a little war, 500 people were killed? It says, did they kill 500? It was nothing. What was Purim? Purim was, they escaped. There was the Gezerah, Lahashmid, Laharug, Laabed. And what happened? They escaped. There was something went wrong. There was technicalities going wrong. It's like, you know, the election over here, all these things going on. They went, Achashverosh and Haman, and then Achashverosh, he went, he gave permission to write another edict that the Jews can protect themselves. The Jews escaped. Now, isn't that interesting? That this one Nusach goes on both Chanukah and Purim. Why didn't Chazal write a custom version of the opening line for Chanukah and a custom line opening up for Purim? You should just write one for Purim. Chanukah, you'll write, let's say we're suggesting that the Purim, Chanukah was the Yeteshua. So you'll write, we'll make it very clear without the Vav, Al Hanisim, out of off, Al Hanisim, the Al HaGivurois, the Al HaTeshuois, and the Al HaMilchamois, there were wars. There was major wars that went on. You know, even after the Hanukkah miracle was over, the wars kept on going on for years. It wasn't over. Hanukkah miracle was the end of a certain period of the struggle between the Jews, the Klal Yisrael and the Mesiavnim, but there were still wars that went on for years afterwards. Those wars were also milchamas. Purim, the way we're explaining, the Vav does not belong, and there was no Teshuos, and there was no Gevuros, because the Jews didn't do anything. The whole thing was Purkan. There was Nisim al Derech HaTeva, and the Purkan was, they escaped, and there wasn't Milchamos either. So it would appear that certain words of this expression fit better for Chanukah, and certain words fit better for Purim. Gevurois and Teshuois certainly fit very, and Milchamos, these three words certainly fit very well for Chanukah, but don't really seem to fit too well for Purim. On the other hand, Purkan, a salvation of escaping without lifting a finger, is a term that fits much better for Purim than it fits for Chanukah. Nisim can mean either Nisim l'malam derech hateva or can mean Nisim al derech hateva. And in the previous bracha, we said Nisecha, which clearly means Nisim al derech hateva. So now when it says V'al ha-Nisim, should it be V'al or al ha-Nisim? It seems like we're all mixed up here. We have this Nusach, which is a catch expression for two different holidays, Chanukah and Purim. And we are basically, when it comes Chanukah, we're saying a Nusach to thank Hashem for Purim. And when it comes Purim, we're reciting a Nusach to thank Hashem for Chanukah. I mean, isn't that obvious? If this Nusach goes on both Chanukah and Purim, so that means when it's going to be Chanukah, we're saying something that we say on Purim. And when it comes Purim, we're going to be saying something that we say on Chanukah. My hi, what's going on? So the answer, you know what the answer really is? The answer is really, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara, and it's a Feresh Halach and Shulchan Aruch, and we really do it the most in the Mo'osur. One of our favorite Yisrael, we always repeat this, is that it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person was zoicha to experience many miracles in his life, he experienced the miracle in China, he experienced the miracle in Australia, he experienced the miracle in Canada, he experienced a miracle in Lakewood, all different parts of the world. When he goes to Lakewood and he goes to the Mokoim, to the location where he experienced the miracle, he has an obligation to say a bracha. And then it says, and whenever you make that bracha, you should add all of the other miracles that happened to you in the other locations as well. And if you go to Lakewood and you go to the place where the miracle happened in Lakewood, you did for me a miracle in this location, and you did for me a miracle in Australia, and here, and there, and there, and there. And when you go to those places, you make the bracha on that location, you're supposed to add all the miracles that happened to you in all the other locations. And indeed, in the Mo'oz Tzur, what are we talking about? The Mo'oz Tzur is the praise of the Dalet, the salvation from all of our tzaros. In the Mo'oz Tzur, we talk about, we mention what happened in Mitzrayim, and we mention what happened in the Golas Bavel, and we mention, of course, Yavon and Parsu Madai. In the Mo'oz Tzur, then we talk about our prayer for Edom. We go through the Dalet Malchios. Why are we going through the Dalet Malchios? Because when you experience a miracle in one place, you have an obligation to go back and express the miracle in all different locations. When we come to say the Yal HaNisim on Chanukah, we're not just saying the miracles that happened to us for Chanukah. We're also mentioning the miracles that happened to us on Purim. And when it comes to Purim, we talk about the miracles of Purim, that's the halacha. The halacha is when you give haidah for a miracle, you have an obligation to give haidah for the miracles that happened to you throughout your entire life. Now, in the Berach of Modim, we're not going back and giving a laundry list of all the miracles that happened to us in our history, because that's not the purpose of the Shemona Esrei. But at the very least, to fulfill the halacha, at least a token fulfillment of the halacha, it leads to mention some element, some other miracle, especially these two miracles have in common. These are miracles that we associate with Golos, even though Chanukah took place during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was not really, it was a Golos. Chanukah is a Golos Dika, there's such a word. It's a holiday of Golos, even though the miracle happened when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Because truth be told, there was no Beis HaMikdash. During this era, the Beis HaMikdash was shut down. It was off limits. It was occupied by the Greeks, the Syrian Greeks. There was no korbanos being offered. They were offering sacrifices to idols, and the Mizbech was thoroughly contaminated. There was nothing going on. It was shut down. So it was ki'ilu, it was Golos. So here we have the two miracles of Golos. Chanukah and Purim, when you give Chaydah for one, you automatically give Chaydah for the other. And that is why this line here is said both Chanukah and Purim to fulfill what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When you give thanks to Hashem for one miracle, you have an obligation to thank Hashem for all of the miracles. Here, this Nusach is a composite of Purim and of Chanukah. If you really want to say Al HaNisim, it means Nisim. If you really want to be consistent with the Modim, I would say that since Nisach here means hidden miracles, the word Nisim here means hidden miracles, with the Vav. And then the first two terms, V'yal HaNisim, V'yal HaPorkan, are the miracles of Purim. And the next three terms, Givurois, Teshuois, and Milchamois, are the miracles of Chanukah. And we group them together to fulfill the halacha. When you give praise for one miracle, you have an obligation to give praise to Hashem for all of the miracles that you experienced. Shasis alavoseinu bayamim mohem, you did for our forefathers in those days, bazman hazeh. That's another topic. What does that mean? Is it bazman hazeh? Is it bizman hazeh? Is it uvizman hazeh? Basically, the question is, does it mean when you say bazman hazeh, it means you do for miracles for us today. Bazman, does the word zman refer to the calendar, that this the calendar date?
Chof Hei Kislev? Well, that's what the English seems to indicate. That's the way the English it reads, at this time of year.
This time of year, right.
Chof Hei Kislev, right. That's when it happened.
But some have a different gerusa. Some have the gerusa, not bazman.
I know.
Bizman, with a chirik. Bizman, which means that not only does Hashem do miracles in previous generations, Hashem does miracles for us even today. Hayoim. Now notice that nafkemina would be a difference between Chanukah and Purim.
If looking at the different translations in the
Siddur, it's not a riot. The translations don't mean anything. Right, the translations they just do whatever they write. It doesn't mean anything.
One says redemption, and one says deliverance, And in Yukum Porkun, in the same Siddur from Yukum Porkun Min Shemaya, it translates it different than Alanisav Yala Porkun. One uses redemption and one uses deliverance.
Okay, the translations don't. You're right.
It's the same word.
Right. Okay. Okay, there are different ideas, but. But also, even to say, even the translation of the word is it Basman or Bisman, also would depend on what type of holiday we're celebrating. If we're celebrating the holiday of Purim, then you can say the same way Hashem did miracles that were hidden within nature at the time of Purim, Hashem does those type of miracles today. Bisman Hazeh in the year Tov Shin Pei Aleph. But if you want to say the word, it means this time of the year. If we're discussing miracles that are lamala miderech hateva, there are no miracles today that are lamala miderech hateva. So what then does it mean? What does it mean bazman hazeh? It doesn't mean that Hashem does miracles today. It means this time of the year, chofei kislev, is the time when, going back 3,000 years ago, Hashem did miracles, or less than whatever it was, 2,500 years ago, Hashem did miracles. So even the translation and the gears of Basman and Bisman depends on which holiday we are describing. Are we describing Chanukah, or are we describing Purim?
I think maybe the machlokis on Basman or Bisman is on the Shechiyonu, maybe not here. Are you sure?
That also, both. That all same exact thing.
Is a lot of
same thing.
It's
the same exact nusach.
It's like whatever Yom Tov it is, it's whatever. Of course, we don't know when the
but that's the same
particularly happened, except for Pesach. But Pesach and Sukkot were the same miracle, really. So, you know.
Okay, that's the same issue. The same nusach. It's really the same issue.
All sorts of thoughts. Yeah. All right.
Now, only another idea. Another idea relating to this is the fact that the Al Hanisim begins with the word Purkan. The word Purkan, as we mentioned, is a translation of the word Yeshua, salvation. That's really the miracle is all about salvation. Hashem is Mevi Goel. Hashem is Melech Oizer Umoshia Umogei, salvation. And yet, it's very interesting that the first word, the second expression, the Al Hanisim, right away we're going to a translation. Now let's understand this. There's a very big, and that's the introduction to both Chanukah and Purim. Now let's appreciate something. Chanukah and Purim are the two miracles that are really a bonus to help us get through Golos, to appreciate the Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem guards Klal Yisrael in times of Golus to grant them survival. How do we record the miracles? There's a fundamental difference between Chanukah and Purim. Purim nitan likosef. The miracle was put in a book form. The movie never came out, not to the best of my knowledge, but at least it was put in a book form, Megillas Esther. And Chazal gave us a mitzvah every year to lay in the Megillah twice at night and by day. Chanukah, loy nitan likosef. There was no permission given to put the miracle of Chanukah in writing. Now, there are documents, Megillas Antioches, there is Megillas Yehudis, there are certain documents, but those documents are part of the Apocrypha. They're Sifrei Chitzoinim. They did not make it into the Chof Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. They're not sacred. They're not sacred documents. They're very nice. They record interesting things, but it's not part of the Sifrei Tanakh. The only one that made it into the Sifrei Tanakh is Megillas Esther. Why is that so? Now, here is an idea, and I don't know if he really says this, but I saw something in his sefer which got me thinking, and that is, what did the Yevanim want to do to the Jewish people? Let's analyze the nature of their attack. They did not want to kill us. They were very happy that we should live, have a good life. The only thing was we should give up our religion. And they were willing, the religion can be preserved in the museum. We can go to the Metropolitan Museum of Arts. There'll be a beautiful exhibit about the ancient Jews, and there'll be exhibits showing all the Taryag mitzvahs. They'll spend billions of dollars creating the most beautiful museum. But the Jewish people should not practice this religion. They should assimilate. They should acclimate into society, into the secular society, and just give up all of this religion. How do they do that? They're very clever. In the time of the Yevanim, this is the fast day that's one right after Hanukkah, they translated the Torah into Greek. They were metargim the Torah into Yevanis. Now, what is so terrible? What's so harmful to translate? You have an artful chumash today. What's so terrible? It's wonderful. What's terrible? So Rav Dovid Cohn Shlita of Gvul Yavetz, he explains something very important. He says, when you translate the Torah into another language, you can no longer make Darshan learn the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'Torah Nidreshes Bohem. That's the damage. The damage of translation, now not talking about today, we're talking about in ancient times when they learned Torah in its original form, to translate the Torah into another language and to shove this language down the throats of Klal Yisrael, this should be your primary document from which you study Torah, you can no longer learn the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'Torah Nidreshes Bohem, with the tradition of Sinai. Because what are the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'Torah Nidreshes? For example, a Hekesh. Why are two concepts juxtaposed? Well, if it's you translate the Torah into English, it doesn't really work to start saying, why is this word next to this word? Why is this chapter next to that chapter? Why is it in this order? It doesn't really work. You can't make a gzeirah shavah English words. It says the word salvation here, and it says the word rescue here. So therefore, the two must be related. That's not the way it goes. The koyach of darshning the yud gimel midos sha'Torah nidreshes demands the pure original form of the Torah. Once it's translated, it's over. There's no way you can continue to preserve the Torah with Torah Shebal Peh. The Yevanim were very clever. They knew that an open attack on Judaism is not going to work. They were much more subtle in their attack. And the greatest power that they had, or the greatest success that they had, was to translate the Torah into another language and say to the Jews, look, you anyway don't speak Hebrew, biblical Hebrew. You live here in our land, and you speak Greek, so you might as well, you know, study your Torah. You know, we'll make a mandate that all of the yeshivas, they should study the Torah in Greek. Why not? It'll be good for you also. It's good for you. We care about you. We don't want you to get sick. We don't want anything to happen to you. It's a very good idea. What were they really trying to do? They were really trying to uproot the Torah Shebal Peh, because they knew good and well you cannot learn Torah Shebal Peh when you're not learning its original language. So they translated it. Therefore, let's understand, when the miracle, it's a very deep idea from Rav David Cohn. I don't know if he says it exactly like this, but this is what comes out. Therefore, when the miracle came forth and Hashem saved us, it is specifically part of the preservation of the miracle not to write, not to put the miracle in writing. Because this is exactly what they tried to use against us to destroy us. They tried to take our documents, our Torah, and to rewrite it. To rewrite it in a different language. When the miracle came forth and we survived, the way we preserve the miracle is specifically not to do any writing. Leave everything the way it is. By taking the miracle and putting it in writing, putting it into a document, it's as if it's saying that, look, that's what you need to record, you need to adapt, you need to remember in a certain way. No. Let everything be in its purest form. It goes against the grain of what the miracle was all about. The attack was to rewrite Judaism in such a way that you're no longer going to be able to practice it the way it was done originally, and you lose your Messiah. So when the miracle came forth, part of the preservation of the miracle is loy nitan likosef. You're not allowed to, you're not, we don't have any documents in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, that discuss Hanukkah. And even in Torah Shebal Peh, so this answers the age-old question in a much better way than any other answer. Why is there no Mesechta Chanukah? And the answer that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had complaints against the Chashmonaim has been severely criticized. The classic answer is because since the Chashmonaim were Levi'im, and they were supposed to return the Malchus to the Shevet Yehuda, and Rabbeinu and Rav Yehuda HaNasi was from Shevet Yehuda, so he had complaints against the Chashmonaim, so therefore, out of revenge, he did not want to go write a Mishnah. You know, that answer does not really, is not very satisfying, and has come under a lot of criticism to say such a thing. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh will take revenge what happened hundreds of years ago by the Chashmonaim because they did not give back the Malchus to Yehuda, so he didn't want to go mention them. This answer, you'll read this answer in every single book about Hanukkah, but if you read the really good stuff, they'll tell you this answer is a very weak and very, very difficult. You have to, if you want to say such thing, it has to be nuanced in a total different way. But what I really feel is a much more profound and true answer is exactly what Rav Dovid Cohen is saying. He's saying the whole point of the Yevanim was lahashkicham toirasecha. How do they do that? Talmai HaMelech. According to most of the commentators, Talmai HaMelech lived during the time of the Chanukah miracle and was part of the conspiracy to lahashkicham toirasecha. And it was a subtle goal, is to translate Torah into Greek. And once it's in Greek, it's almost impossible to learn Torah Shebal Peh in its pure form of a Gezeira Shava, Hekish, Dora Habayu Bechlal, V'yatz Mechlal Olamid. You can't do all of these techniques do not work when you translate into a different language. And by doing so, that would slowly diminish the study of Torah, which would lead us down a path of assimilation and abandoning the Torah. Thus, when the miracle occurred that we prevailed, the way to show our appreciation and preservation is bedafka, not to write anything, not to go and start writing translations and to start writing new books and to write Mesechtos of Chanukah, the laws of Chanukah. No! The whole goal is everything should be pure Torah Shebal Peh, the way it was originally, because this exactly was their technique. Purim, that wasn't the issue. They couldn't care less. The issue was the atah kisvu al hayehudim katoiv be'enechem. Achashverosh said to Haman, write in the Megillah whatever you want. And write whatever, just destroy them. Destroy them. When we prevailed, we write a Megillah Esther. That's right. Kisrael Yudin Kitobe Nechem, the Megillah says to show the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal was not that we should forget the Torah. The goal was just to obliterate us, and to obliterate us with a writing of a document that says, that writes us off for destruction. When the miracle came forth, the way we preserved the miracle was here, it's the other way around. It's bedafka to put something in writing. Now, with that idea in mind, we go back to our original point. The Al Hanis and the Al HaPurkan. Isn't it strange? You have Aramaic in the Shemoneh Esrei. It doesn't belong here. You don't have Aramaic in the Shemoneh Esrei. It doesn't belong here. The Shemoneh Esrei is pure Hebrew. This word does not belong here. What is it doing here? It's coming to allude to the translation. The miracle was they tried to translate the Torah, not into Greek, not into Aramaic. They tried to translate the Torah into Greek. And by doing so, no longer would be able to learn Torah Shebal Peh. It would have destroyed us. We mention our salvation with a translation to awaken us to what the miracle is all about. The miracle was Hashem prevented them from making that, forcing that translation down our throats, which would cause us to lose the ability to study Torah, like it says over here in the Nusach. V'zeidim biyad oiske sarasecha. All right, so we discussed today a couple of ideas: the Vav, Chanukah, Purim, the catch all, Purkan, verse Teshua, the Gruis in the middle. We discussed Bizman Hazem, and then we discussed this other idea: the difference between Chanukah and Purim is, one was nitan likosev, one was not nitan likosev. Very different types of miracles. And the unusual use of a translation of Aramaic in the Al-Hanisim to possibly allude to this miracle that Hashem did not allow them to dilute the Torah in Greek, but preserved it. It was a salvation. Salvation, and it was preserved in its original form. Okay, everybody, have a good night. Be well to everyone.
Shkayach.